Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This is ABQ Connect, and we are presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Steve McKee, my good friend, co-founder of McKee Wallwork and Company, author of When Growth Stalls, How It Happens. He is a branding expert, is joining me in studio. Hi, Steve McKee.
Hi, Jim.
Expert parent, too, by the way. I might add that. We used to spend a few evenings for, 5-10 days at the Christmas Joy presentations.
Oh, yes.
Over
oh, yes.
The years. Your beautiful daughters and one of mine were dancing.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I'm also becoming a proficient grandfather.
You
slowly.
Are.
Yeah.
You are. Yeah. But we've got kids moving out of town.
That they do.
And one of the things we've talked about over the years is how can we make New Mexico better so that we can get our kids back?
Yes, and that's actually relevant to today's conversation.
It absolutely is. And, Steve, you are a branding expert. You use words. You're a word crafter, if I'm allowed to say something like that. And we're going to talk about how words have been crafted by
crafty people.
Maybe both sides of the political aisle, maybe people that are people of faith and people that are not.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
I've been stewing on it for a long time. You know, having written two books, actually, it goes all the way back to the early, early, early days of my career when I wrote a letter that actually got me my first job. My boss's boss's boss, when I finally met him, he said to me, that letter made its way to my desk, and he said, that's the best letter I have ever read. Now, this was pre-computer days, so I don't have a copy. I don't know what it said. But
is this on a Royal typewriter with a little piece of carbon
something
paper?
Something like that, yeah.
I love that.
The power of the word, of course, you know, in the beginning was the word and God spoke creation into existence. So this whole concept of language and the words we use is really, really deep. And, I've been stewing on it lately because of the way that words have become a weapon in the actually, you know, really in the spiritual war, certainly in political terms, because if I use words a lot in my job. We're, you know, we do branding, my company. And so, there's two ways to convey a brand identity. And I don't want to get all weird on you, but there's the sort of the visual way, shape and form and imagery and stuff that isn't language based. And then there's language based and language based. You use words and concepts that are represented by words. And so, I spend a lot of time swimming in this stuff just professionally. Have a blast with it. Absolutely love it. When you're able to express a brand identity through a word or words, there's just something fundamentally cool about that. As I'm driving around town, though, listening to the radio and watching the news and so forth, it really concerns me because Denise and I, we actually took Pastor Richard Encinas. Remember Richard and Susie Encinas?
I do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think the world of. They were our pastors back in the day, and they taught us. They led our marriage preparation classes and. Susan said, she said one day that communication is the meeting of meaning. I thought that was really cool. The meeting of meaning. And the conveyance of that meaning is words. And so the better we can communicate, the more grace and peace we'll have in our relationships. And the converse of that is also true, that the worse we can communicate, if communication breaks down, if the vehicles of transmission of our ideas, the words, break down, then that causes marital problems, it causes wars, right? It causes everything. And so this stuff really is really important. And we should strive to communicate as clearly as possibly, which means a word that I use should mean to me what it means to you as much as possible. Mm-hmm. That's where we run into trouble. Because I might use a word that means something different to you, and we think we're talking about the same thing, and we're actually not.
Mm.
That goes on a lot these days. Words naturally change meaning over time. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the word nice used to be an insult.
No.
Yes. And the word cute as well used to be pejorative terms, and they just kind of evolved over time. And that's what happens. And of course, we know that new words come into the vernacular all the time. I looked this up yesterday. Some new words added to the dictionary this year. You're going to roll your eyes at this. Am I right? One word. Am I right?
That's one word now?
Yeah. Am I right? It's in the dictionary.
You sound like Jeff Foxworthy words.
Exactly. Goat is actually in the dictionary. A new definition.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time, yes. Yeah. Do you have hodophobia?
I have no idea what
that is.
That's
an irrational fear of traveling. Ish is in the dictionary. Janky. Nothing burger. And swole. So words change meaning over time. It happens naturally.
Now, one that's got to be in there is woke.
Probably. I wouldn't know. But we're going to be talking a lot about woke today, I think. And so it's a natural thing. Words change meaning over time. It's the intentional manipulation of language that I wanted to comment on today, because there's a lot of it going on, and I think believers need to be much, much more discerning than we are.
And we don't listen. On top of the words changing and having different meaning, we don't listen. So there's a lot of other things. Here's another thing, Steve, I want to interject before you start going through the list of words, because this is really interesting. The tone that we use also really affects
absolutely
what we're saying and how it's said.
Intentionally or un.
Well, I happen to think, and I'm going to make a political statement, I think if our former president would have had a different tone, he might have still been the president.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be right, but wrong at the top of your voice.
Or you can be wrong with a smile and fool people and deceive people. Absolutely. You know, speaking of marriage and all that, another tip that we got was, when you're not communicating in a relationship, and sometimes we've actually done this, you say, don't listen to what I'm saying, listen to what I'm trying to say. Mm. And that's helpful for a couple who has, you know, of goodwill, who has good intentions, to say, okay, I'm not going to get set off by the words. I'm really going to try to get underneath it. Well, sort of the opposite is true in our cultural vernacular today is, listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm really saying. And they're trying to pull a fast one on us. It happens. It happens all over the place and all the time.
So read between the lines as a...
Yeah, don't take words at face value. Unfortunately, I mean, we should always be sensitive to that anyway, because, you know, there's a famous story in the advertising business about the Nova, the Chevy Nova, when they introduced it in Mexico, and I guess Nova means doesn't go.
And so, really?
Yeah, same word, but in different culture, it doesn't work. And it's a joke in our business, and that's happened a few times. But we should be using words to try and build relationship and try and communicate and convey truth to one another. And today it's just in a really fundamental way, it's become the turf of a new cultural political battle that most of us are totally unaware of, completely unaware of. And that's what frightens me.
I can't wait to go through the list.
You know, Proverbs, there's a verse in Proverbs that says the naive believes everything. Mm-hmm. And that word everything actually is a Hebrew word that means words. Mm-hmm. So the naive believe words. And I just would like to, you know, alert everybody and everybody be a little more sensitive and a lot more discerning about the things that we're hearing out there in the news, because the words that are being chosen by the political class are extremely intentional. There's nothing. So we could talk about equity versus equality. We'll probably talk about that. Mm-hmm. Systemic. That's a term that's in the vernacular these days. In New Mexico, we talked about New Mexico politics. They're legalizing cannabis. Not marijuana, not dope, right?
Right.
We changed the word to cannabis because marijuana, we all grew up with the word and we have certain perceptions of it. So let's change it to something innocuous sounding. And so you'll hear the politicians talking about it and the people on the news quoting it, saying the cannabis legalization bill. That's just a sleight of hand. Mm. Yeah, to try and soften the thing up. It's really crazy.
Absolutely. And we don't realize the implication. But again, it's a lot of it has to do with caring. You got to care enough to listen.
You do have to care enough to listen, but so often we and this is so true of the church, we don't even realize that we're not listening. So I have a phrase that I've started to say to myself is, beware the adjective. Okay, so we're all interested in justice, right? We can talk about justice. That's another word that is highly abused. But when you put a word in front of it, a modifier like social justice or economic justice, we tend to focus on the noun, justice, and who's against justice, and so, yeah, I got to be for that, when actually the modifier often reverses the meaning. Mm. And here we are preaching social justice when actually social justice is a Marxist concept that is fundamentally unjust. It's fundamentally unjust because you have to take from one. It violates our rights. You have to take from one to give to another. So beware the adjective. And that's happening all around us all the time.
Yeah. Steve McKee, he is the owner of McKee Wallwork and Company Advertising, co-owner. And he's been doing advertising around the country for many, many years. He's the author of two books, When Growth Stalls, How It Happens, Why You're Stuck, and What to Do About It. He also has written a book called Power Branding, Leveraging the Success of the World's Best Brands. He's pretty much wordsmith and knows what he's talking about. I haven't debated you before, so I don't want to do that.
Let's
do it. You
know
more about words than I know. But everything that we want to debate, you kind of agree with. Like, I've gotten really involved with a conversation lately about what in the world does the public education department have to do? What does virtual learning or hybrid learning or in-person learning have to do with interscholastic athletics and activities for our students? They have nothing to do. They are mutually exclusive, have nothing to do with it. All the reasons for interscholastic activities and athletics before COVID that were true then are true now. And I can't get the public education department to even respond. Why did they come up with this edict that you can't have sports? Because, you know, I actually probably will get some flack for this, but I understand why teachers are nervous about COVID. I understand that they want to have all of these different things. But even then, you're starting to see the spin and the different usage of words. And
beware the adjectives.
There you
see,
go.
Learning, we're all for learning, but they put an adjective in front of it. Distance learning or hybrid learning, and it's a sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. Well, let's start the list.
Okay. I think, there's a lot of ways we could, we could go with this. Things like, when politicians talk about shipping jobs overseas, that you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
But pause for a minute. That's a really pejorative accusation. Like, we're boxing them up and sticking them on a boat and shipping them overseas, where it's not necessarily true. Creating jobs overseas for whatever reason a company does, you could debate that, whether it's good or bad or what have you, but just by calling it shipping jobs, it's a pejorative term that we don't even notice anymore. It just runs right by us, and by definition, it evokes a negative emotion in our minds. And this happens a lot. When you talk about, we mentioned cannabis, for example, social justice. This is going to get me in trouble. The term giving back, I don't like it, because it by definition implies you've been taking. And people who run businesses are not taking. They're giving. They're creating jobs. They're staying up late. They're sacrificing. They're enhancing the world. So the concept, what they're doing when they describe it as giving back is actually a good thing. I prefer to call it giving more, not giving back. Because see, there's sort of when you get into that construct of talking about giving back, if you think about what that does over time, it sensitizes people to think that business people are takers, not makers, not creators. And that's responsible for a whole lot of our woes these days.
Yeah, why are any of us having to apologize for having a successful business and making money?
Exactly. Then profit is a good thing. It's thought, people think of it as a bad thing. We're creating jobs, right? It's all good. Everybody wins when there's profit. Everybody wins. And yet there is this overall negative tenor or tone against business people, and a phrase like giving back, which nobody who's listening has even thought of this. Nobody pays any attention to. It's a nice thing to give back, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying we should do more of it. I just don't like calling it giving back.
You know what's interesting is I'm thinking right now biblically, the precedent for giving is to not do that in front of everybody, not stand on the street corner and say, I gave alms. It's just to give in secret.
It's to give in secret. And if you want to use the term give back in a spiritual sense, sure, God's given us everything. And anything we can give back to him in an act of sacrifice is a good thing. But in terms of giving it to one another, it's kind of crazy. Okay, this one is getting me. This is really current. And again, I just want to challenge people's thinking. Our democracy. We're hearing that a lot. The threats to our democracy, whether it's about the election or this, that, or the other. And we're hearing it so much that I dare say that it's very intentional. Now, as you know, America is not a democracy.
It's a republic.
We are a democratic republic. Mm-hmm. So there are elements of democracy in that we elect our representative officials. Benjamin Franklin, right? When the woman asked him, what kind of government have you given us? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. So we elect through democratic means people to represent us in Washington. We're a democratic republic. We are not a pure democracy. Pure democracies throughout history have all ended in tyranny, because in a pure democracy, it ends up being majoritarian rule, and the majority always oppresses the minority. That's why we have a Bill of Rights. That's why all that is there. So I think we're being conditioned. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay, so I don't think like there's a cabal out there that's planning this, but I do think that there is a trend. I think we're being conditioned, our democracy, so that we focus on the majority. And if the majority says it's okay to kill babies in the womb, it must be. Mm. Right? If the majority says we have to prohibit the free speech of some people.
No, that's called women's health care, right?
That's another word, exactly. Reproductive, women's health care, or reproductive health, or reproductive choice. They won't say, they won't use the proper words.
Those words came straight out of the mouth of Michelle Lujan Grisham last week when she signed the bill.
Yeah, because they're not going to stand up and say in this legislative session, we're going to legalize abortion up to birth and marijuana. They're just not going to do that. That's not how it rolls.
Yeah.
So the democracy, I just would encourage everybody to pay attention to the democracy versus republic thing, because you're hearing it from both sides of the aisle, primarily because I don't think people are paying attention. I think we're being set up, because there are active efforts to go after the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, and the First Amendment. And those were, by definition, put in place to protect the minority, whoever's in the minority. In a pure democracy, you're toast.
Steve McKee in studio. He's the founder of McKee Wallwork and Company. They're a large advertising agency actually based here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They do advertising all over the world. He's the author of two books. You might want to look up Growth Stalls and Power Branding, two excellent books. We're talking about the etymology of words and how they're used in our culture today to maybe dilute something that we might consider to be true. We'll be back with Steve McKee. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach Ben Lucero and his team on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Steve McKee in studio. Steve has been a frequent contributor to our show over the past year prior to the election. We were talking about politics. Steve's kind of had politics as a hobby and a central interest. And we talked at the top of the show because both of us wanted to try to keep our kids around New Mexico. We're really in some different times. We've got a progressive right that's now controlling the state. Progressive is one of those things that I'm trying very hard to figure out how that's retained its original meaning. And then at the same time, you know, you've got the right. You've got the so-called conservatives. And I think they've redefined that to mean something that I don't know. Steve, I'm going to get myself in trouble saying this, but I've heard a lot of conservative politicians be extremely loud and extremely rude. I won't mention who. And think that that's okay. I think speaking the truth is absolutely something that we should do. But even the word truth is now being distorted.
As it always has been, right? Pontius Pilate, what is truth? And that's really what we're talking about, because what is truth in terms of us conversing about it? We have to be able to communicate, and we communicate using words. And that's why this is such an important thing. It's funny that you mention the playing field in politics seems to be changing. We don't know if it's temporary and if it's going to kind of snap back or if it's a permanent adjustment. But progressive is an interesting one, because for years, I don't know if people who are listening are old enough, but when George Bush the Elder was debating, I think it was Michael Dukakis in the 1988 presidential election, he accused him of being a card-carrying member of the American Civil Liberties Union. And the term liberal was a pejorative. You're a liberal. Well, the left side of the aisle kind of caved to that, and they came up with a new word, which is really an old word, but they adopted the word progressive because it sounds so good. I'm a progressive. When you look at the progressive policies, some of them you could argue are progressive in that they're trying to progress things. Many of them are regressive. They're taking us back into time. And yet, the term progressive sounds better than the term conservative, for example, to the average uninformed person. And that's a great example of another term that has just been adopted. And it's kind of like, what's that game where you're pounding the... When a word changes, you just change it. When a word loses its utility, you just change it, right? And that's what unfortunately happens.
Well, I don't know where we're going with the conservative movement in this country, but right now, the conservatives have been lumped in with the Christians. And it's kind of funny because I know a lot of Christians, which of course we have a lot listening to our station today. Some of us are starting to feel like we need to apologize for being people of faith. And that's where I want to draw the line. That's where I want people to start sitting back. And this is even a biblical principle. The Bible instructs us that we're to be as the Bereans. We're not even supposed to go listen to somebody talk to us about spiritual matters without checking it out.
Yeah.
And the measure is the Bible.
The measure is the Bible. Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not sure what the word conservative means these days. I'm a conservative, historically speaking. I'm also, if you go truly historically, I'm a liberal. Because a classical liberal is basically what a conservative is today. And so there too, if I was to say to somebody that I'm a classical liberal, most people would think that I'm of the left, which is not true. A classical liberal would be considered of the right today. And that's just, some of that is the natural evolution of words, and some of that is intentionally manipulative. And I mean, what do politicians have, right? They're going to try and get elected. And they're going to use words to do it, no matter how they can.
I can't help but think about the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the guy was saying that everything was a derivative of Greek. Do you remember the movie?
Yes.
So let's take the word politics. He would say something like, the word poly, meaning many, and then the word ticks, meaning small blood-sucking parasites. Well, you get where I'm going. Politicians. I'm not going to say it, but really we all sit back and go, you know, there's a reputation for car salesmen and politicians and mortgage guys. I mean, I keep hearing all of those kind of things because those in the past have been professions where people have been taken advantage of. Now I think there's so many regulations and there's so much integrity. All the car salesmen I know are some of the best business people in the world. Mm-hmm. They honestly communicate. They do everything. The mortgage guys are so regulated. They have to do everything by the book. But the politicians are still kind of out there doing whatever they want to do.
Well, in fairness to the politicians, there are many who are upstanding, upright from both sides of the aisle. And you know, I've met them and you see them. There are many, many. I think the political class gets defined by the worst offenders because those are the people on TV all the time and all that. I think there are a lot of politicians who are standing up and trying to do well. But you've got, I honestly think that there's a sense of, and this kind of gets into the conservative versus progressive thing. There's a sense that conservatives want to preserve the meaning of language, the meaning of words, not unnecessarily, not allow them to change over time, but to be faithful to the meaning of a word as currently conceived. Whereas the progressives are all about changing culture by changing language. Mm. And we see it. And so let's take this giant concept of justice. Okay. Justice is who doesn't want justice? When you hear somebody shouting for justice, I want justice. What do they want? In some cases, it's justice. Like in the criminal justice system, right? It's like, we want justice for this killer or what have you. I think a lot of times when people are calling for justice, they actually want vengeance. Mm. And that's a scary thing. Because if you're calling for, I don't call for justice because it terrifies me. Because if God was only just, my future is not very bright. Mm-hmm. Neither is yours. I think justice properly understood, it's like the fear of God. Justice properly understood is a terrifying thing. But there's another proverb that says evil men do not understand justice. And I'm not calling everybody evil out there. I'm just saying that if you don't fear the Lord, you're not going to truly understand justice. And I think when people seek or calling for justice, what they're really calling for is fairness, that something's unfair out there. Now, so, you know, give them credit for the heart. It's still the wrong word. It's still the wrong word. And so it confuses people. And then when you get into fairness, who's to say what's fair?
Well, you start with equality. The big word now is you got, you know,
equity.
Equity, yeah.
And see, this is where we're heading. So justice has been around for a while, and we talked a little bit about social justice is unjust by definition. Economic justice is unjust by usage. Because when somebody talks about economic justice, it's taking from one to give to another. And that violates our fundamental human rights. And so that's a crazy
thing. Well, there's another word for that. It's called communism.
It is. And that's there's really only two ideas in the world. There really is. That you've got a sinful man with a fallen nature. Thomas Sowell calls this the constrained theory. And then there's the unconstrained, which is man is perfectible and we're getting better and we've evolved from the goo into it. And those are really the only two waves of thought. And they manifest themselves in different religions. They manifest themselves in different economic systems. So I'm not calling everybody a communist, but it's coming from the same place. And that's where equity, which is the new term. So we're warning people, listen when somebody says democracy. Have your antenna go up and say, what are they really saying there? And then when they say equity, say, why didn't they say equality? And there's a reason for that, taking out two letters, right? Taking out the A and the L, is that right? Equality refers to equality of opportunity, the front end. We're all created equal. Equity refers to the back end. Equal outcomes, equal results. That is the same philosophy that's shared by communism. And the only way to get there is at the point of a sword.
Yes. And the truth is that if you want to look at the track record of communism, there is no pure communism that has been successful.
No, because it's based on the fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of man. That's why you can trace everything back to that. If you believe that man is even if you're not a believer, if you believe that man is imperfect, fallible, and has a condition that he can't solve, you're going to get a lot of things right. If you believe that man is perfectible and getting better over time, you're going to hundreds of millions of people will continue to die.
But Steve, we've talked about this concept. We've talked about our forefathers. Let's use George Washington as an example. So here's a man that, was he involved in slavery? Yes. Could he be faulted because he had sin in his life? Yes. Which of us can't? But here's a person that realized the sinful nature of man, along with some other slaveholders and other people who were not, but they designed a system of government in the United States that had checks and balances, keeping in mind the nature of man.
Yes, they wanted to pit one man's sin against another to balance them out.
Yeah.
And the checks and balances, we may have talked about this before, there's checks and balances on top of checks and balances. Not only do we have a bicameral legislature where the Senate and the House have natural tension, but that Congress has natural tension with the executive branch. And they all have natural tension with the judicial branch, right? That's the checks and balances. But also the way they set up how those people would achieve office was different in every case. The Congress was elected directly by the people. Senators were appointed by the state legislatures, which were elected by the people. The president was elected by electors from each state, and then the Supreme Court appointed all judges appointed by the president. So that even in how you come to power, there's checks and balances. Well, we screwed that up because now we have direct election of senators. And now the move is on to directly elect the president and get rid of the Electoral College. So what you have here is majoritarianism because of our democracy that wants to elect both houses of Congress and the president by whatever stomach ache the majority is having at the moment.
But the forefathers wanted to protect the individual.
Yes.
As well as do the best for the greater good. And that's a difficult balance. Today, it appears to me, politicians on both sides of the aisle want to do things because they can, not because it's the best thing for all of us. You said something to us a year and a half ago, one of my first programs here on the show, and you said that you'd like to see a day when, in New Mexico, for example, public policy decisions were made so that New Mexico could compete more in a global economy. Every public policy decision needed to be related to us being effective in the world economy.
Mm-hmm. That's because we have a realistic view of how things work. So currently in the legislature, you've said this many times, pay attention, people. That's sort of your theme.
Yeah.
Pay attention. Currently,
use your brain.
Yeah. So we've talked about the social issues. There, we're going to legalize marijuana. Can I call it dope, weed, whatever? We're going to legalize that. So it's going to get in the hands of more kids. There's going to be more DUI on the street. It's just inevitable. That stuff's going to happen. We talked about the abortion bill and the assisted suicide bill. So these are social issues that are coming out. But then at the state level, not all of this may pass, but they're about significantly increasing the personal income tax. Now, what's going to happen when you increase the personal income tax? People respond to incentives. People who that's going to hit hard can just pick up and move. Especially if I live in Hobbs, it's 10 minutes to Texas, right? They can just pick up and move. But the wrong assumptions, the people in Santa Fe are pushing these things, assume that the rich people or whatever you want to call them here are just going to say, okay, I'll pay more and all the boats are going to rise and everything else. They don't realize that there are unintended consequences to their.
I understand that New Mexico is one of the only states in the country that has negative population growth because exactly what you just described is happening.
It's happening. People are leaving California. They're leaving Illinois. They're leaving those burdensome states, and they're going to Arizona, Colorado, and Texas, among others, Florida, of course. Whenever you read a national story about that, New Mexico isn't even mentioned. It's almost like they have to intentionally omit it because naturally it would just be kind of in the mix. They're not coming here. And so what we're doing currently in Santa Fe, progressivism is ruling the day, and progressivism based on a faulty set of assumptions. I'm not castigating the motivations of the people, but it's a faulty set of assumptions. And based on those assumptions, we're going to make matters a lot worse here.
Yeah. Steve McKee's with us. We're talking about the meaning of words, throwing in a little politics and some other spicy thoughts for this afternoon. So I hope you stay with us. We'll be right back.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want a gun.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKrekkerLawFirm.com. TheKrekkerLawFirm.com.
Early Christian education should glorify God by providing an orderly, nurturing, and stimulating atmosphere for students exploring the world around them. Calvary Preschool strives to do just that. Each child who attends grows mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually as they interact with a loving, caring group of adults and peers. Registration for the 2021-2022 school year opens on February 16th. Visit CalvaryChurchPreschool.com today for more information. That's CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors for sponsoring the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly and Dave and their team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates. Doing business by the book, 342-8100. You can also reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Steve McKee, I've got to thank our commercial sponsors.
I love them.
This is what you do every day.
This is right. This is the way it works. I love it. Support them.
And you know what? We got to throw in a word, because I know that you believe so much in people here buying local, doing business locally. We got the restaurants open a little bit. We got to really concentrate, maybe go buy some gift cards and give them to people, because those gift cards are like buying a meal. And, you know, helping our families here in New Mexico is really important.
Indeed. It's extremely important. And a lot of words have been used and misused over the past year to justify all kinds of things.
Well, I need to bring up something to you. I had a good friend of mine. He's been a friend for a long time. We were talking about a sad event, though. My friend Doug Bullock, he's a retired state police officer. He was in charge of Governor Johnson's detail for almost 8 years, the whole time he was in office. I think Doug left his detail with about a year left in his administration. And frankly, I think the governor wore him out, because the governor was a workout maniac. And Doug is a workout maniac, but not quite to the level of our former governor. But Doug, you know, loved his job, did everything. And as most people know, we recently lost Officer Darian Jarrett. Mm-hmm. He was killed near Deming. By basically a person that's been accused of, you know, suspected of dealing drugs. Doug and the entire state police were not only worried about him, Officer Jarrett and his family, but they were worried about, again, being labeled, because you see this very violent video after he killed Darian Jarrett. This man was tracked down 50 miles away, and the local police and state police got him, and he tried to fire on the police and he was killed. I mean, but right in front of us. So they were really afraid that everybody be going, oh, there's those police officers. There's that systemic racism. And that's another perspective. And I looked up a lot of research before I talked to Doug. We have literally millions of events happening every year in this country where you don't hear a peep of racism. You have successful people that are detained and handcuffed and or released, or situations de-escalated. And yes, having one person killed because of racial discrimination is one too many. But that does not mean there's systemic racism throughout our entire culture. And that's the part that really bothers me.
Yes. Beware the adjective, right? The racism is a real thing. I'd like to say something to any pastors that might be listening, because this is really burdensome on my heart. Last summer when all the riots were happening, and it was really a hot topic. This concept of systemic anything means that the problem is in the system, right? That's what it refers to. If the problem is in the system, presumably you can change the system to change the problem. So far, so good. So when you have a Jim Crow law, that's a systemic, and you change it, and we have. We've come a very, very long way. I would suggest that if there's any other laws or regulations, or call them anything, that actually promote or provoke racism, let me know, right? I'll march with you. I mean, let's change it. But the challenge with systemic is this. There's a lot of people outside whose concerns are not primarily about racism, who are using the term systemic because they want to change the system. What system? Our system of government. That's what they're pointing at. And they're saying the problem is the entire thing, not this law or this regulation or this police department or this, you know, rogue cop or whatever. They want to change the whole thing. And that's where this is really kind of getting to, is we need to eliminate the police, right? For example, or we need to become more socialist or what have you. And this is what's really a burden on my heart, is I think I've heard it from the pulpit many, many times. It's really easy to use the word systemic from the pulpit. And I would challenge pastors that unless you're talking about something systemic, don't use the word systemic. And I'll give you the best explanation I can. I don't believe that systemic racism is the problem. I believe that endemic racism is the problem, meaning it's in me, it's in you, it's in us. We are fallen human beings. We all have a tendency to fear others, you know, who aren't like us. And when you preach systemic racism, you're pointing the finger at something or someone else. When you preach endemic racism, you're pointing the finger at yourself. And I think that's really helpful. I think that's really beneficial. And that's why I say I just wish we would be more discerning as believers, because you got to pay attention to those adjectives. And if, like I said, if there's systemic racism anywhere, I'm all about changing it. I'm all about it. Show me it. I think the bigger problem is endemic racism. And I think that's in all of us. I think it always will be. And we need to preach against it. And we need to, you know, overcome it ourselves. That adjective makes all the difference.
I've heard a couple of different pastors that are black. Pastor Clark was one that I know. I believe he's in Virginia. Steve, can you tell me that Skip had on the radio here, Tony Clark? Yeah, and he's going to check out that. But Tony Evans is another famous pastor. Both of those pastors have said, we don't have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. That's, and they're pointing at that endemic, you know, what's inside of us is the problem. And the funny thing is I think we can even address that. I tell the story all the time, Steve. When I was a graduate of El Dorado High School many years ago, and I went to play basketball at the University of New Mexico, I had not been around a lot of black athletes. I'd grown up with two or three black students in high school. I never really perceived that they were black. I mean, they were my friends. I'd known them my whole lives, but they didn't come from a whole different culture and a whole different world. And I remember being terrified by a bunch of guys that were just huge, unbelievable athletes that would, you know, slam me to the floor without a thought. I'd never played against those kind of athletes, so I wasn't prejudiced. I was terrified. And the funny thing was, and I share the story all the time, after a few fist fights, and I'm not suggesting we fist fight, but this is just what happened with my own experience. Pretty soon, talking with these guys and battling with these guys, I figured out these guys are just like I am. So the fear of another race just kind of went away because I was engaged in a relationship.
He is our peace who has broken down every wall, right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, that's specifically talking about Jews and Gentiles, but it applies to all races, that we have so much more in common than we have difference. And so we're all human beings, right? And Jesus is our peace. He breaks down every wall. I just think that if I'm sitting in a pew or listening to radio or watching TV or something, when you talk about systemic, I just think it's unhelpful because it causes me to point the finger at someone else. And I don't think that's helpful. I don't think it's helpful to our culture. I think if we all point the finger at ourselves and say, what am I doing to change things? What am I doing to make things right that's healthier? But the people who are, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. There is a level of people who are using that linguistic moment to try and tear down the system. And that's going to hurt a lot of people of all races and all colors.
How about the word privilege?
Privilege. Yeah. It's a weapon, isn't it? I mean, it's a total weapon these days. You're just privileged.
Anybody that's successful, it's being used against them.
It's being, well, and it can be used against anybody. And that's the thing. It's like, am I privileged? You bet I am. Do you have, I happen to know that, there isn't a person that I've ever met. Maybe once or twice. There's not a person I've ever met in America that isn't in the top 1% of people who have lived all time. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the denominator, right? It depends on your perspective. We're all privileged. You know, I had the privilege of having a two-parent home growing up. It's just another way of dividing us. You know, we all have different forms of privilege. I was thinking the other day, we were talking about fairness and, you know, what's fair and who's privileged and all this. You remember Walter Payton?
Yes.
Sweetness. Right? The second greatest running back of all time behind Barry Sanders. I'll just tell you that. Sorry, Cowboys fans.
You'd have a hard time arguing that Emmett Smith wasn't the greatest because he only rushed for like literally 5,000 more yards.
Yeah, but Barry Sanders quit young. I mean, Emmitt Smith would be in his. Anyway, so I grew up watching Walter Payton. They called him Sweetness. He was just magnificent, right? So here's this guy who's playing for the Chicago Bears, scoring touchdowns, making millions of dollars, making TV commercials. He's on American Bandstand. I think I saw him once, you know, and I'm like, I could say that's not fair. Then he retires, gets liver cancer, and dies at like 42. I don't know how old he was.
Yeah.
I can look at that and say, that's not fair either. So, it, you know, at that point, in that case, it's me comparing myself to a guy at different moments in time. There's a lot of different ways, my point is, to calculate fairness. There's people who are wealthy but alcoholics because of their upbringing. There's people who are poor but very happy. And so privilege is just a... one of those things that, again, I think it's somewhat like systemic and endemic. If you point the finger at yourself and say, how am I privileged? And what does that mean my obligation and my responsibility is to people around me? I think that's a healthy thing. But if you're pointing at other people, accusing them of that, it's just divisive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of several movie stars. I'm hearing them use the word we, and they happen to be black. And they keep talking about themselves as part of the oppressed. And these people have to be making $10, $20, $30 million a year. And I'm thinking, who are they talking about? What we are they talking about?
Well, that's another one of those words that we is kind of an interesting word because we use it we use it a lot. I always want to ask, who's we? So you'll hear a politician saying, we can do better. Okay, who's we? Or... we need to make Albuquerque grow more. Who's we? So I think it's helpful in all cases. It's a throwaway word. It's like, who's we? Are you literally talking about you and the other people in your legislative chamber? Or are you talking about everybody in the economy? Or in any of those cases, I think it's helpful to ask, who is we? Because again, if we isn't me, then I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so nothing gets done.
Yeah. I want to bring everybody's attention to our guest today, Steve McKee, the founder, co-founder of McKee Wallwork and Company, large advertising agency based here in New Mexico. He's written two books, author of When Growth Stalls, How It Happens, Why You're Stuck, and What to Do About It, and Power Branding, Leveraging the Success of the World's Best Brands. These are both really good reads. You would enjoy them. A lot about what we're talking about now and the use of words and how big companies have branded themselves and positioned themselves in our minds. And you can go through the book and go, yeah, I definitely know how that works because it's worked on me, right?
Oh, that's the fun of the book is you've lived it your whole life if you're an American consumer.
Yeah.
And so I just explain how things work.
That's fun.
It's kind of fun to read.
We got another 10 minutes with Steve. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio. We have just a few minutes left with Steve. But Steve, we had to pick on ourselves a little bit. So we're going to talk about, you know, I was called to the NBA when I graduated from college. It's just that none of the NBA owners heard the calling.
Yeah, that's one. That's a great one. I feel called.
Yeah.
All right. Who out there has said it? Raise your hand. Nobody's watching, but.
I feel called to move to New Mexico.
I feel called to date you. I feel called to this job. I feel called. I once had a friend say that he felt called to quit his job and go on unemployment. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way since I was going to be paying his. I feel called is actually an oxymoron. I am called. That's different. Has a whole different level of commitment, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to say, I am called to this. We say, I feel called all the time, and you're either called or you're not. But here's the thing about the word call, because this used to bother me a lot. Because I'm like, what's a calling? And we all have a general calling to live up to the, right? We all have that. What's a specific calling and all that? And I still don't think I have a total handle on it. However, I was reading a book by Oz Guinness, who's a brilliant man, and he explained, he pointed out, this really got me, that calling and vocation are the same word. One comes from the Greek and one comes from the Latin. So you wouldn't say, I feel vocationally. I mean, right? It's a whole different level. I feel my vocation should be an ad guy versus I feel called. One is so spiritual and one is not. But it's the same word. And we tend to, it's a shortcut. It's a conversation ender. It's hard to argue with. And I mean, I could say I'm called to a burrito after this. You can't argue with me. I'm probably not.
Yeah.
So that's just it's an example of a word. We're all humans, and we just don't pay attention often to the words we use, and we use them lazily and carelessly.
I think that one time I was on a broadcast similar to this, except I was broadcasting a Lobo basketball game. And I remember my engineer, nowhere near as handsome as Steve Ryman in the other room here, but I was searching for a word that was a little overemphasis on the word mediocrity. And he said in my ear, as I'm addressing the public over the airwaves, he said, use the word the epitome of mediocrity. And I have to say that I love that expression because I think it describes where we live today. We've got to start getting back to focusing on excellence. You know, the Bible says focus on things that are true. Focus on things that are excellent. Focus on things that are beautiful. And our focus, Steve, and I think it's largely because of the media, our focus is on everything but the good things.
Yes. In this context specifically, we are allowing the others to take control of our language. And when I mean the others, what I'm saying is the people who are using it to take us somewhere we don't want to go. And so we have to get back to excellence in how we communicate with one another and not just be passive recipients of the words that the media, you know, rams down our throat, not just accept the fact that calling it cannabis makes it different because it doesn't. It's dope. It's marijuana. It's the same thing. Not accepting reproductive health as a euphemism for the taking of a human life. And not being fooled by sneaky words like equity or our democracy, which by themselves, there's nothing wrong with. The words are fine, but they're being used against us.
Here's the spin I hear about cannabis or dope being sold. It's going to inject $300 million into our economy.
Measurably so. It's also going to cost $500 million that we can't measure.
Exactly.
And that's where the excellence in the journalist field of journalism is not showing up.
Yeah, I can't understand what investigative reporters do. I did a little research in 10 minutes the other day about this topic. Every state in the country that has legalized marijuana, and I'm going to use the name marijuana, has had an increase in DUIs.
Yes.
Everywhere in the country.
No question.
Now, New Mexico, for the first time in about 3 or 4 years, has not had an increase in DUIs, which is a major, major stepping stone. So if we legalize marijuana now, guess what?
Somebody's child is going to die. And that makes it real personal. So, you know, my libertarian friends, there's another word that we could get into in the definition of libertarian and how that's changed. We'll say, don't argue with me about what I do in my backyard. And I say, I won't. Don't get into your car.
Yes.
Because now you're going to have an argument.
Yes.
And you can't prevent that. So they're going to make all kinds of noise up there and they're going to justify it as an economic development strategy. And it's going to create jobs and tax revenue, all of which is on a net basis, not true.
Steve, how do we get our focus using words back on excellence and taking care and considering the other person more important than ourselves, which are all biblical principles?
You know, specifically related to this, I've thought a lot about it. I think it's not fighting people. It's pausing for a moment and asking for clarity. I once had a professor in college who, when someone would ask him a question and he'd stop and he'd say, I don't understand the question. Can you ask it another way? Which I thought was really helpful. It's like, okay, let me try that. And so I think if somebody uses a word or just, you know, a throwaway line like this, just to pause and stop and say, can we just clarify what we're talking about? Because I'm not sure we're exactly, you know, what was the line from The Princess Bride? I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah. I do not think that word. Yeah.
I think that's a way to, and you do that in love and as a peacemaker. That's our calling, right? We're not called to be belligerent and to be in people's faces, but I think it's to stop, pause for a minute when we're alone. Use some discernment in terms of what's happening here. And when we're with people, try and build bridges of communication. What was it that Abraham Lincoln said? I don't like that man. I need to get to know him better. Right. Build bridges of communication so that we can come together.
I got to write down that Abraham Lincoln quote. That's good.
It was good.
I don't like that man, so I need to get to know him better. The words that are spoken have to be listened to. And the words that are being spoken that are wrong usage and wrong meaning and wrong intent have to really be scrutinized and listened to.
They do. And if the listeners today do that, then this hour will have been worthwhile.
I got heavily criticized because I praised the movement that Martin Luther King led in this country to have peaceful protests for a lot of years. And I was so impressed because I don't know of one recorded incident where they were ever accused of violence, but they allowed people to spit on them and hit them and beat them and do all kinds of amazing things. And I was criticized because somehow somebody said to me, oh, well, Martin Luther King wasn't a perfect guy. He was a sinner. And I looked at him and I said, man, I'm sure glad that I'm not being judged by the same criteria you're judging him because I have no qualifications at all because of the sin in my life. What I see is something that was excellent, something that was godly, something that prayer and discipline, and it was hard, hard work. A lot of times when people feel pain, they use the word complicated. And this is not complicated. It is hard.
It's incredibly hard. It requires tremendous discipline and most of all, love.
And that really is the gist of everything. Love considers other people more important than yourselves. Thank you, Steve McKee. Always a blessing to have you.
Thanks.
ABQ Connect is
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.